You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Welcome to Cannon Fodder, a behind-the-scenes look at the Glass Cannon Network.
Yo! What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the FOD! It is Wednesday, August 9th, 2023, and I'm your old pal, Joe O'Brien.
And I'm Troy. 10 hours of sleep, LaValley.
Dude. But what's your average over the last 7 days?
Oh, 3.5. 4 tops.
I feel really well rested too. I exercised this morning. It felt amazing. My voice isn't completely shredded. It's wonderful to be back.
Yeah, so I came home. I was out on a 7 a.m. flight, which means I was up at 4. I had a really horrible last night of sleep. And all of those nights of sleep at Gen Con are ridiculous. It's never like, oh, I feel great. You're just constantly, like, not thinking about the pain. Poor Skid trapped in Indianapolis. Eric Mona trapped in Indianapolis.
Oh, Mona got trapped, too?
Yeah, Mona got trapped, too, after, like, boarding the plane earlier in the day.
Oh.
It had to take, yeah, I mean, just brutal. The key to leaving Gen Con is leave Sunday night or leave at the ass crack of dawn on Monday, which is what I did. Now, I originally was doing that mainly because I just knew that I would miss my family so much and I wanted to get home as soon as humanly possible. But during the time, my wife ended up taking the kids and Linus away to her mom's towards the end of my trip. And so they're not coming home until, now this is Wednesday. We're recording this on Tuesday, until today. So I came home to an empty house, which was really weird. I'm going from 70,000 people to zero people. And so I was just cleaning up. I had, like, a lot of cleaning that I needed to do because things were such a disaster leading up to Gen Con. And then I, like, had all these sports cards that I'd just been purchasing and leaving in piles, like Howard Hughes, like, with urine jars. And so I had to, like, sort those all by sport. And then I had some work I had to do for the project we're going to talk about in a second. But then I was like, I need to see other people. So I went to a bar at, like, 8 o'clock, this amazing little pub, and had dinner just sitting at the bar just so I could feel like I was around other people. And then went to bed at 10:30 and woke up at 8:30.
What an amazing feeling. I went to bed at the exact same minute, 10:30 last night. So wonderful. Slept the whole night through. It was fantastic. But yeah, we are going to do a little Gen Con recap today. Talk to you about what went down and what you can expect to start seeing and hearing as we begin to release content that we recorded all weekend long. We're, of course, going to do a little dip in on the tour, added a date, and the biggest news of today's today's FOD is going to be the state of the pod, an upcoming Troy LaValley live stream that's going to be, we'll talk about more about it later, the state of the pod.
Not the state of the niche. I've seen a lot of people very confused about what this is going to be. It's very clearly the state of the pod.
State of the pod. So we're going to hear more details about that in a little bit. And then, of course, we got to talk a little side quest, side sesh. We didn't have fodder last week, so we want to get back with you and talk to you guys about a few details on those most recent episodes that have aired of the fantastic... Give me the name of the module. What's it called?
Have I said the name of the module?
I don't think you have, but I mean, yeah, come on. At this point, people who know. It's called the Bopon. The Bopon Cheese Party.
It's the Bopon Cheese Party. That's the first part. the first one's called the Opal of Bopon.
The Opal of Bopon. What a fantastic adventure. I am so into it. But it is very scary. We're in a very scary situation now, so we're going to talk all about it. All right, let's get back to Gen Con. Gen Con impressions. Let's start with that. What stood out to you this year at Gen Con as a whole, as opposed to, you know, the last couple Gen Cons that we've been to?
Well, I mean, this was our second year with the booth, and we were so much more prepared because last year the whole idea for the booth and the from idea to concept to execution all happened in about 45 days. This year, we started our fiscal year planning for Gen Con, and so you could tell by Wednesday afternoon how much all of that extra planning made a difference.
Because, yeah, so that extra 5 months of planning that we had access to do that, the net result was being roughly 12 to 15 hours ahead of schedule at Gen Con, right? So like, if you think about it like that, like 2 years ago at Gen Con, our stream was it about 90 minutes late, 2 hours late?
Something at like least, that. Yeah. Under on two, but almost two.
On the first day, I think we were 2 hours late to stream. And this time, we were out to dinner the night before with everything completely done, dusted, tested, and booth completely finished. I mean, it was incredible to be that relaxed going into the first session that on that Thursday morning.
Yeah, I mean, I came over Wednesday, cause you guys got there early on Wednesday, and I was prepping, Glass Cannon Live and the first Pathfinder show. And, I walked in, you were like, it's done. We're like, everything's good. And we still had a few more hours of stuff, but you were shocked cause like we were doing test streams, we were running the audio and everything was super clean. And, you know, there's just so much that goes into producing, this booth and producing this weekend because we also have shows at the con and shows outside the con. So our attention is split, but man, the preparation and the team that we have in place, I just feel like I walked away from this weekend being like, we can fucking do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an incredible amount of teamwork. As exhausted as you and I were, everybody put everything that they had into its skid. We was completely burnt end to end, but you wouldn't know it from his performances on stage and in the booth. He was absolutely on fire all weekend long. Sydney, who we asked to jump in and do a lot extra because Matthew couldn't make it, just said, yep, I'll do anything you need, and stepped up and was wonderful. Behind the cameras, Michael Meridian, our production coordinator, and Matt Brody, our cinematographer on Gatewalkers, came out with us and helped us shoot in the booth, and it looked amazing. It sounded, I think, better than it sounded last year.
Oh, yeah.
So keep an eye and ear out for that. We're going to talk about that in a second. Hopefully, we'll get some content releases coming to you soon. There's also Tristan, who is our sales and marketing director. He oversaw the whole booth last year, too. And this year, even more prepared. He blew out his knee on day one and stayed the entire time. Just, I mean, the sacrifices that everybody was putting up. McD, who was there not only in a operational capacity to just help with things as simple as hauling equipment across the country. He drove it across the country from Philly. He supplied us with fruit and water and granola bars, like all that kind of stuff. But then he was also out there community managing. He's talking to the Nays. He's hanging out with people. He's, exchanging information, getting details. I mean, it was just, what an incredible team. And then, of course, all the folks that helped us sell in the booth. You know all of them from Twitch, at K-Rob and Jim with Two N's and et cetera. And it was just
Grace and Kate.
Grace and Kate. It was just fantastic to have such a great team come together to pull that off. Because honestly, I look back at it and like there pretty much wasn't a hiccup. Like everything went according to plan, except for some Twitch funkiness, but that was on Twitch's platform and not on our end. We didn't drop a single frame in 4 days of live streaming, not a single frame.
But dude, you know, it's like, so that's one part of it is like you want everything to go according to plan, and it did, which is amazing. And that's preparedness. Then the second part of it is like, is the content any good? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Are we going to be on? Are we going to have the stamina to be able to, come up with improvised shit all weekend long? And I think every single fucking show that we did, from the booth to outside the booth to those live shows, was just like top tier Glass Cannon Network stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, just from stream to stream to stream, everybody was on, and it was just we created some magic this weekend with this content. So if you didn't see it, get ready, because we're going to be preparing those and getting them out there, and you're going to be able to see like just this eclectic mix of some of the best content we've ever produced. I feel like we're at the top of our fucking game right now, and then everybody we work with just comes in and like, it exceeds all expectations, like rises to the occasion and delivers. I'm just so excited, just still thinking about it.
Yeah, because last year, a lot of we brought in plenty of people that we had never even really worked with before. And this year, everybody that was in that booth, we've worked with at least once or twice before. So there was a chemistry there. There was a familiarity there. So when people like Josephine McAdam or Nora Ibrahim came in, we have so many hours and hours and hours of experience with them. Jason Charles Miller comes in, crushes it. Harley Caine comes back again this year, crushes it. Paula runs another game, crushes it, and plays in several others. It was just, and I'm forgetting people, but it was wonderful to have everybody in there. And then, and our staff back here, let's not forget CJ, who's doing all the production and post-production stuff. So you're going to see a lot of content coming out soon that's going to be all managed by CJ. And then the, and Francis. Francis was here. He was like live, what do you call it? Live subtitling.
Captioning. And
live captioning your social media videos that you were sending from the floor. Like he was waiting in the studio for them, turn them around, live caption, get them back. I mean, it just felt like the team was in New York and in Indy and everybody was clicking and it was fantastic. So huge thank you to all of them. And Naish, please show them your love whenever you see them.
And you know, behind the scenes there, we hosted an industry party. And we did it last year and it was very, very low key. We just kind of sent an email out to people like, hey, come, we're going to do this little party. And we hosted one this year. And this is something I talked about to you at our first Gen Con. I was like, a couple years? Because we had went to a couple parties and we're just like, holy shit, everybody's here. I said, you watch, a couple years, we're going to have a Glass Cannon Network party. And we laughed about it. Well, we had one, a legit one, this time. And everybody in the fucking industry showed up for that party. It's like, you just look around and it was like a who's who. Because people want, like, finally are starting to understand what it is that we bring to the table. Like, we're being taken seriously, or this art of actual play is finally being taken seriously. But I was like, oh man, this is just the beginning. Just the beginning for us 8 years in.
It takes a while to get warmed up. But yeah. We had a fantastic time. So let's talk about the content itself. You said it was great. I agree with you. We had a lot of shows that were some surprisingly wonderful and some just as you expect, but you should expect to see stuff. I mean, we're not going to put a timeline on it because we haven't even looked at the raw footage yet, but we think it's all good because what went up on Twitch looked good to me and sounded good to me. So we're hoping within the next week or two to be rolling these things out at some sort of pace. They'll go on YouTube and then audio will go on Patreon. Is that what should be expected?
That's the plan right now. Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll see these things coming out a bit by bit. Another one of those things that's going to be coming out, and I'll say this before we dive into the rest of Gen Con, is San Diego Comic-Con. So we've talked with Marvel. We should be getting the high res of that footage soon, and we should be able to put that right up on our YouTube, which would be awesome, and then release that audio too, right?
Yeah.
The audio is bad for San Diego Comic-Con, but that's because it's a con panel. Like, they're bad. They don't have podcast mics. Like,
you know, we didn't talk to the video team. You know, they don't know us. Like, it wasn't our video people, and so them trying to, you know, it's so different when we have our video people. They know our rhythms and they know like when to do this. It was just a different thing. Matthew's mic was out for the first 20 minutes, so it's not going to be up to our normal quality, which would normally mean I just wouldn't put it up, because plenty of shows I'm just like, sorry, can't put it up. However, it's too big of an occasion to not try and cobble together something to get up on the internet. It was also a phenomenal show.
Exactly. Yeah. So that brings me to Gen Con, Marvel at Gen Con. So we did Marvel again at Gen Con. They sponsored the booth. It was so great to work with them yet again. But we didn't continue that show or that story. We did a new superhero story with established known Marvel heroes in a new quick super group for a one shot. And we had so much fun. Oh my gosh. It was so fun. And
we were peak tired for that stream, but you would never know it except with Skid doing math. But like, my God, that system is just fantastic. It's just fantastic. I even said it on the stream. I was like, when I first read this, I was like a little worried it was going to be too, I was like, doesn't have enough chunk to it. No, there is maybe too much chunk. I mean, there is a lot of math and a lot of crunchiness because you just get access to so many powers. But I was like, all right, we're not going to have the whole team from San Diego Comic-Con out for this. So instead of doing those original heroes, let's really take the system in a different direction, because the thing has like 70 pages of already made character sheets of established heroes. I'm like, you pick heroes and I'll just come up with a little story and see what comes of it. We had a blast.
We had an absolute blast. I demoed for a new group, Dragonbane. We talked about this. We did it on Glass Cannon Labs. We created characters. Well, this was the one shot adventure and I think it turned out wonderful. It was really fantastic. Our cinematographer, Matt, was like, I might be walking right directly to the Free League booth in my 15-minute break to buy that starter set. It's not even a starter set. It's the whole set. It's the whole game. They just trim it down and make it tight. So, like, this is all you need to play the game. And everybody had a fantastic time. Jason Charles Miller guested on that one, and he was MVP of the session. He blew everybody away, even just with his voice alone. He was so wonderful, and his character was amazing, and everybody did a great job on that show. The biggest Pathfinder thing that we did the whole weekend, besides the Strange Aeons Glass Cannon Live, was in the booth, we did a two-part teaser to Sky King's Tomb, the new AP for 2E. So if you want to check that out, it is an all dwarf party that we made. It was Sydney and I and Skid played with Eric Mona, and the four of us made dwarves. And we do kind of, it's not going to spoil anything. You know, it's just sort of like a...
I will spoil.
It just spoils
one section of the adventure.
The very, very, very early section. Beginning of Sky King's Tomb. But it gives you an idea. If this is something you'd be interested in trying out, check it out. And we utilized the mechanics from the new Rage of Elements book, which was the release at Gen Con.
Yeah, Skid played a metal kineticist. And Sydney had a familiar that was one of the new familiars that you can have. And I said this to Mona. I was like, man, we are like inadvertently really good at this, because we showed off all these new powers
Mona was a cleric using the new pantheon. They put out a new dwarven pantheon in the High Helm supplement that just came out.
Yeah.
So he did like a new deity that's like this dark, twisted, like demonic, like deity of the dwarves. It was just so cool.
He was Grutal the Heretic, my dear.
It was just so good. And then I did the Barbarian using the new Elemental Rage builds, Instinct. Elemental Rage Instinct. So when my guy raged, I went into flames, and you start like adding fire damage to all your attacks. So much fun. So I highly recommend you guys check it out when we drop that. We also did an alien RPG one shot that I have not seen 1 minute of yet. That's like one of the only things that I haven't seen a minute of. It was sponsored by Demiplane, who helped us out with the booth, and they were keen on us showing off some of their alien tools. So everybody hopped on and was playing a one shot that Jared Logan wrote along with McD, to, you know, run them through a one shot of Alien. And from what I hear from the players, it was awesome. Oh man. How about Pendragon? Do you remember Pendragon? How about the next game that I want to play so bad in an extended campaign? I didn't know about Pendragon. I had heard of it loosely, but I did not even realize that it was like Arthurian role playing. But yeah, it is just so up my alley. I say it a million times in the demo, but you got to check it out. I mean, the game, it's a true beginner's demo. Brian Holland from Chaosium ran it for us, and he told the guy who's doing the Rune Quest right now, if you guys are watching or listening to that.
You mean Brian Holland from the Glass Cannon Network?
Brian Holland from the Glass Cannon Network. He was pretty adamant. He was like, don't even open it before we get to the Gen Con booth. I don't want you prepared for anything. I want to do it like we would do a demo at the Chaosium booth. And so that's what we did. We opened it live on air. He brought the sets over, and we started picking knights and started to tell this story, this brief story of knight. And it was, I'm telling you, it was right out of George R. R. Martin, wasn't it? It was like, literally, you just felt like you were in a Game of Thrones story. It was fantastic. And then all of the amazing mechanics that game uses for role playing and emotional sort of how your character responds to events. And then not to mention when you look at what your character sheet holds for the long term. I mean, it's stuff like, you know, it has when you're squired and when you were knighted, but then there's open spaces for like the year that you become landed, the year that you become a knight of the round table, the year that you get your nobility, and then like the year that you die. And then that is expected that you would then pass that on to your child. And
yeah,
then
you so start it's Crusader playing, Kings. It's
yeah, like, you start exactly. playing your child. So it's like Crusader Kings. The loose idea he gave us was that each game session generally is like a season or two seasons. So it's like a quarter of a year or like a half of a year. It's like what you play in one game session, the passage of the lives of these characters. And there's rules for combat, and there's rules for, you know, jousting and stuff, like horse riding jousting competitions. Anyway,
We had a tilt!
I tilted against Troy's character.
Oh my God, it was so cinematic. Yeah,
it really was. And there was so, by the time we jousted, there was so much story to both characters. Like, oh man, It was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, we've always wanted to play like a Westeros type game, and maybe we just take like the Pendragon system and skin a little Westeros story. It would be so easy to do.
So easy. So easy. Then we have, I did a similar demo of the Gloomhaven RPG, but I did it with character creation. So I sat everybody down. Sydney came. Matthew was originally supposed to be in it. So Sydney came, but she's never played a minute of Gloomhaven. And so it's great. I thought a real introduction to the system in general, introduction to Gloomhaven in general. And then everybody created characters. And by the end of it, everybody was so pumped to get together because we're going to get together soon and play those characters in a one-shot adventure that will be streamed and the audio will be released on Patreon. Whew. Then we did Modern Cthulhu. We did Modern Cthulhu Bachelor Party. Another Brian Holland joint at the booth. And that, you talk about that one.
Yeah, I mean, we played a lot of Cthulhu this weekend. But the Modern Cthulhu thing that he ran in the booth, he sat there with not a single thing in front, not even dice in front of him, and weaved this story together that was masterful. We were all just like watching an alchemist at work. This was kind of our dread, like we did Dread in the booth last year. This was our kind of silly dread thing. But he had this idea that's a precursor to a thing that he's writing that Chaosium is about to release. So this is sort of a prequel to that adventure. So he knows the world of this so well. It's just four guys go to a log cabin for a bachelor party weekend, and it's not what you think. It was absolutely horrifying and obviously hilarious as well, because we're all goofing and punchy, but
and man. it's a tight 90. It's yeah. Like it's Ooh. 90 minutes total, and it tells this whole terrifying story as a precursor to something he's working on, and I love the title. I told you this after the fact. It's called Alone Against the Static.
Yeah,
and it's just like, oh, it's gonna be awesome. Then what else out of the booth? Oh, D&D 5e with Paula Deming. Paula Deming GM'd that game. Fantastic. That's another one that I actually didn't see a minute of, but heard great things. Paula said it went really, really well. We did a teaser for Professor Purple Worm Kill Kill. We did a preview, I guess you could say, which is the show that you and I talked about on Fodder that we couldn't go into great detail on, but we flew out to LA back in May and shot an episode. You shot two episodes, I shot one episode of this series that's going to be coming out on a D&D, what do they call it?
Fast channel.
On a D&D fast channel where they're just 1 hour one shots basically. But watch this little 1 hour thing we put together with Matthew Lillard and Bill Rayar from Beetle and Grimms. They were the production team behind Faster Purple Worm Kill Kill. And they give us some insight into how it all came together. And then we actually show the first ever clips and samples from the production.
TV show clips. Joe and Troy on TV.
It was a legitimate TV show. And you can see those clips and get a sense of what's coming down the pike in the fall. We're hoping that'll be released. Whew, what else?
We had two shows at the con. I'll do this very quickly. Yes. We had our Modern Call of Cthulhu show, the one that I kept talking about. Like, I'm so excited about this scenario. If you've ever read, there's this collection of one-hour Modern Call of Cthulhu stories called Fear's Sharp Little Needles. And I got this over a year ago when I was like, I'm doing a Call of Cthulhu show at the John. And there is a one in there called Poetry Night by Oscar Rios. And I forgot to say it at the end. I wanted to shout this scenario out. Well, that's the scenario that I ran for Joe, Skid, Nora, and Sydney. And this was streamed on the Gen Con channel. So you can go to Gen Con's Twitch channel and watch this. You got to kind of, some of the niche have have created a link that goes straight to it. Otherwise you got to scrub through that day because they just go live and then end the live at the end of the day. But holy shit. I mean, Nora was on another planet. Everybody was. And it was a horrifying, very, very dark scenario. But man, talk about a tight 2 hours. That was like, we were 5 minutes left and everyone was was like, there's no way Troy's going to end this. And we did with like a minute to spare. Please watch that. And of course, we did the Busted Mufflers Saturday night, Saturday at 5 p.m. To 7 p.m. Just a wild show that sadly only exists in that room. But man,
it's unbelievable. It's so sad that it only exists in that room because things happened that we want to carry forward so bad. And I'm going to forget all of it.
Major repercussions. Yeah, it was all over the place and like off the wall, completely off the rails, like all of the Busted Muffler shows. But at the end, it kind of came together in something that is going to change the Busted Mufflers forever.
It's true.
And then we had Glass Cannon Live. We started book four of Strange Aeons at Helium Comedy Club Thursday night. And talk about off the rails. That show, I don't want to say too much because we're working on the video. I mean, holy shit, dude. The whole tour this year, we have been firing on all cylinders. And this one was no different. It was, and it had a little bit of everything. Because obviously that show has a sillier tone. It has plenty of silly, plenty of goofy, plenty of fall out of your seat laughter. But there was some stuff that I wanted to do at the beginning of the show with Aldo and Atticus's character in particular, now that you have your memories back, that was very, very much, much different tone than the rest of the show. So get excited for that one. That was really off the walls.
I always love the start of a new book. I just love the start.
Oh, I
love the start of a new book better than the end of a previous book. Like, I don't get as excited about boss fights as I do about the initial conceits of a new book, the role-playing aspects, the meeting new NPCs, getting the idea of what's the next chapter in the character's lives. I love it so much in that it did not disappoint. It was
it's like the first day of school.
Show.
You get to show up, like start over. You get your new character, like new character stuff. Let's just really, I'm really gonna track treasure this time, and I'm sharpening all my pencils. Yeah, I love that. And then finally, we did Call of Cthulhu Live Friday night, a scenario that I was, I'm not Mr. Homebrew. I don't like anybody doing homebrew on the network because I don't trust it. But I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it. I have a cool idea, and also I have the best improvisers in the game. Up on stage, and we did the show with Rob Kirkovich, Kate Stamis, Noor Ibrahim, you and Skid. And holy shit, we're working on the video for that one as well. What a wild, wild show. I had no ending in mind. Really, I didn't know what the last 45 minutes of that show was going to be like. I was like, let's just see what happens in the moment. And we had an absolute blast.
Absolute Blast was amazing, and I'm so glad that that one was recorded so that everybody can partake in that awesome Athenaeum show. And we forgot one from the booth. Escape from New York. You weren't on it, so you forgot it, but I was there. And
Mona's GM debut on the network.
Mona GM'd a run-through of the Everyday Heroes System Escape from New York campaign, just a small sample of it, and I did it with Rob Kirkovich, Skid, and who was the last person?
Jared.
That's right. Rob Kirkovich, Skid, Jared, and me played in Escape from New York as GM'd by Eric Mona. And I thought that it was phenomenal. It was sponsored by Sirenscape, and we used the new Sirenscape Escape from New York sound set. And as soon as I started playing the music, Skid was getting chills and Rob Kirkovich said he might cry. Like, the music is so good. It feels like you are making your own movie, with that setting. And it was hilarious and awesome and intense too. It was really intense.
It's funny. You made the rundown for this. I think you just went with like your memory because there's two other things that happened at the booth that aren't up here.
Yeah, I'm just
Fast Grim.
Oh, that's right.
Fast fucking Grim. Jared did the character creation for it a week before Gen Con and then had Nora, Sydney, Kate, and Josephine or Paula. Paula. Yeah, and Paula. It was Paula, Nora, Kate, and Sydney through Vast Grim. It's this like Morkborg in space, like grimdark space thing. Please watch that. They had an absolute blast with that. I keep saying absolute blast. That's what I think of when I have a good time. I had an absolute blast. And then Sydney and Kate did a Twitch takeover. We can't, how could we forget to mention their 30-minute Twitch takeover?
But is that going to be released on YouTube and in audio?
I'll have to watch it.
We'll pre-screen it.
Get a pre-screen that one.
I watched about the first 5 minutes and they were amazing out of the gate, but I don't know where it went from there, so we'll have to check that out. But we only have so much time in this pod. Let's get back to business. We need to talk about the state of the pod, and that's what I'm excited about. But before that, real quick, state of the pod in 2 minutes, give me the 2-minute rundown on we added a date.
We haven't added it yet. We've added it internally. They don't know about it yet. 1 month from today, dude. 1 month from today, We're back on the road. We're back in Boston. We haven't been to Boston in like a year. We're going to be at the Paradise. I think we can sell that show out. Over 200 tickets sold right now. There's, as of right now, 69 tickets left. Nice. Please sell that out, Boston. If you sell
come
that
on,
out,
Boston. Come on, Boston. Dude.
That's our homecoming show. Dude, I cannot. I don't want to ever leave my house again, but I also can't wait to go to Boston for that show. And
do you realize that after the Boston show, we are going to have to get up at about 5 in the morning to drive back?
Yep, I thought about this yesterday.
Because it is the first Sunday of football, and we can't miss 1 minute of football.
Yep, I'm used to getting up the day after the show and hopping a plane. I am just going to be up at 6 and on the road by 7 so I can get home for the pregame shows.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It's the opening kickoff.
Day. Or you know what? Maybe I'll just go home and watch it with my dad all day.
That's what I'm sad about. Am I going to have to get my own ride to Boston?
Oh, that's right. I'm driving like all of you. Yeah, I guess we're... Sorry, everybody. Everybody's getting up early. Anyways, that's happening. And then in October, we're doing Chicago and St. Louis. St. Louis, there are 20 tickets left. I have no concerns about that selling out.
Huge thank you to all of St. Louis and surrounding areas.
They've been waiting for us to come out there. But then Chicago. What the fuck, Chicago? We're not even half sold in Chicago. We used to sell out Chicago at the drop of a hat. I guess people are tired of seeing us out in Minneapolis, or maybe they all lived in St. Louis. Let's go, Chicago. That's a big town for us.
Chicago should get together with L.A. and hang out because they're both the worst together.
Let's go, Chicago, or we're never coming back.
And yeah, it is a mystery. It's one of our first shows we ever did. It sold out in a heartbeat. It was one of my favorite shows ever because it was the show where I remember it's the show in January 2019 where I announced that I was going full time on the Glasgow Network. We were going full time. It was so wonderful. The place was packed. The niche was amazing. I do wonder, maybe they're just splitting out to Minneapolis and St. Louis, but yeah.
I don't know, but come on out to that because I love the pizza. I love that city, and I'll be sad if I never go back. But I'm threatening to never go back. And then tickets are going to go on sale next week for the last show of the year. We're only doing 4 more shows this year. Boston, Chicago, St. Louis, and Philly. We're going to be there for PAX Unplugged doing a Philly show back at City Winery. Christmas sweater party. Although if they don't turn on the AC, I'm going to go there shirtless because it's so fucking hot. But we're coming back to Philly, and those tickets are going to go on sale next week, so stay tuned to social media and to this to find out how to get those tickets, or just go to our website. That is the tour. Let's talk about State of the Pod.
It's pretty wild for it to be August and be like, there are only 4 shows left. Like, that's it.
Dude.
So, yeah, if you want to see us in 2023, it's got to be Boston, Chicago, St. Louis, or Philly.
Last night, when I was sitting on the couch after I got home from my little solo dinner, I like took out my Remarkable and started going over my to-do list and cleaning stuff out. Just like wiped away all the Gen Con stuff, wiped away all this, and just trying to look at like the end of the year between now and December. And that's the first thing that astounded me. I'm like, oh, there's only 4 more shows. I'm like, I kind of think I have those prepped already. And that's my goal. It's like, just get this stuff prepped, set it and forget it. Because before you know it, I'm going to have to start running some time for chaos. But in the meantime, let's talk about State of the Pod.
State of the Pod. What is this?
Well, I'll tell you what it's not.
You mean State of the Niche.
No, like a typo on that graphic? No.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what it's not. It is not State of the Niche. I see people pontificating, trying to guess like, oh, what are they going to talk about? Release dates for this, new tour dates for this, or we're going to have a new series. But no, we are going to talk about the Glass Cannon Podcast. We're going to talk about the Glass Cannon Podcast Campaign 2. We're going to talk about Gatewalkers. And it is going to be a show that you do not want to miss. The plan right now is I'm going to come on. Hey, what's going on? Bebop and Scat. Talk a little bit up front. I'm going to announce our official sponsors. We have official sponsors for the pod. Any other big news? We've got like several contracts on the table right now. Maybe things will get ironed out between now and Friday. And if so, I'll announce those things as well. But the focus is going to be on Gatewalkers. You're going to find out the release date. You're going to find out the release date of something that's going to come before the actual release date. And we're going to debut all of my sit-down interviews with the cast that happened months ago talking about their character. We did it forever ago for
Androids and Aliens.
I think we did it for Ruins of Aslan. You know, very like we sat there, probably had an iPhone camera. This is a multi-camera shoot.
And we did it for Blood of the Wild, but it was audio only. But it was great.
Yep. So we're doing this. We had multiple cameras. We went out all over the five boroughs of New York shooting these videos where I just sit down and talk about the characters. So this is going to be the like the reveals about the beginnings of the ideas of these characters. We're talking ancestries. We're talking classes and so much more. And also just
even
like
a couple feats. I think I might have mentioned a feat.
You certainly mentioned a few other things, but we also just sit down and chat. So there's a lot of that as well. I think
it's getting to know people a little bit better, getting to know their neighborhood a little bit better. You know, this place that they love to go have a drink. Like, it's just, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's. I think people are really going to like that. It's going to be a long stream. It's probably going to be 2 hours, and time permitting, I'll sit at the end and maybe do a little Q&A. But I'm going to be queuing up these videos, showing them for you, giving a lot of announcements about the pod, the Glass Cannon podcast. It's not the State of the Nation. I'll probably still do that in November, like I always do. But this is the State of the Pod. You got to be there live. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
And if you say it's going to be 2 hours, that means it will absolutely be 4 hours. He only ever says things and they double in length. Whatever he says, double it. And that's the length of live event that he does.
The character creation videos alone, if I just played them start to finish, would take about an hour and a half.
Yeah. So you're going to talk a lot more than 30 minutes.
I don't have a whole lot to say. Less is more, Joe. Less is more.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. What time does that start?
8 p.m. Eastern, live, twitch.tv/theglasscannon.
Is this going to be released elsewhere? Because it's a very Twitch streamy kind of thing. Like, yeah. Is there going to be an audio-only version of the State of the Pod?
Yeah, you know what? What we're going to do is the following week, all of those individual character videos are going to appear on YouTube. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll drop one video a day. But just the video, a standalone video. My whole presentation and whatnot, that's just going to be available on Twitch. I'm not going to release a podcast of that because it won't play very well. The character videos are what people are going to want to really see. And then when you and I do fodder the week after, we can kind of go over some of the details of the announcements.
Will the character build videos be released as audio only?
I don't know yet. I don't know. Maybe. We haven't discussed that internally.
They're very much so not like shot on podcast mics or anything like that. Like, they are like, you know, loose lavs out in the city. So it's very, I don't know if it'll lend itself to audio. So
yeah, I know we'll people see. Get bummed out about that. I don't like it. And I get it. But like, if the audio isn't great, it doesn't hit our quality standards. It works for something like this, but it may not work for a pod. Well, let me figure that out. We still hadn't decided that. And I'm mad that you brought it up.
Well, I just like to pre-ask the questions people are absolutely going to ask.
No, I know. But the you'll be able to watch them on YouTube at least. And then maybe we'll add them. I don't know.
Normally, I'd come in at this time and be like, we are stupid. And talk about all the rules that we got wrong in 2 weeks of SideQuest Side Sesh. And I'm sure that there's a few. But Professor Eric was unavailable. No office hours for Professor Eric as he was busy running 1,000 games at Gen Con. Professor Eric, while he did not make an appearance in the booth, was an official Paizo GM for in the Sagamore Ballroom all weekend long. We ran into him at the very end, and he looked as exhausted as we were. But it sounds like he had a great Gen Con, and he's really excited to get back on board with starting to listen to our content and get back to us with rule corrections or whatnot. So I'm not going to focus on rules today. I just want to focus on a couple questions as you approached this. As you guys know, spoilers abound. Don't even listen to this if you're not caught up on SideQuest Side Sesh, because these are a couple really big sessions as we get into the vault proper and begin unlocking, so to speak, the puzzle of the four seasons that lies beneath. The hallucinations of as you insert the lock and enter into a landscape that represents each season, written in the module or something you came up with? Just curious.
I don't remember what you're talking about.
When I put the key in the lock in like the winter side, I guess it was, or no, the summer side, it was like I all of a sudden saw myself like on a beach.
Oh, yes.
And it was like, you know, these like hallucinations, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it just says that you experience the opposite of, like, so if you go in winter, you experience summer. So I was just improvising that. I didn't have anything written.
I figured.
That's why it was probably sloppy.
It was real sloppy, so that's what I figured.
I'm trying to write less because it always sounds better when it's off the dome. They're very vague in how they experience that. But tip of the penis to you for realizing immediately
my rib
how to break that. Like, of all people, you, Mr. I Hate Riddles, you got it. You, like, totally got it. And dude, my brain is so all over the place. I didn't even make the connection to the fact that, like, the greetings, you always say the opposite.
Yeah.
You made that. I just knew it was the opposite, but I forgot, like, that's the whole thing they set up at the beginning. And you picked that. I was like, is that Joe Bryan?
Yeah, it was a rare moment of clarity on a riddle. And I was still very, very, I was not sure I had it. I was very nervous because it's a huge commitment. You're taking these move actions to move across this huge landscape. So it's going to take you two rounds, at least, even if you're triple moving, to move all the way across to the other thing. And the entire time you're getting blasted with elemental damage. And I did not have a lot of hit points. So I was like, this is a big risk I'm taking on this puzzle. I think it's this. So I'm just going to go with it. And so glad that it turned out to be right, because normally my instincts are 180 degrees wrong.
And it's wildly dangerous if you guys don't figure that out soon. I mean, you figured it out and you still almost had
everybody was down to like single digits, bro, after that encounter. But awesome encounter, really, really fun. And then we get to what I consider, you know, the chef's kiss, the pivotal moment, the moment that every GM loves more than anything, which is when the trusted NPC turns on the party.
Hey, you guys didn't see it coming.
We've had a few of these in the many, many years that we've been gaming together. Talk to me all about this one. When did you find out? Do they mention it the first time his name is mentioned in the book that he's going to attack them later? Like, how did this traitorous bastard story all come together?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's in the adventure summary, so you know that Lao Zhexian is going to turn on them. And so my goal in these situations is to always play them like you never see it coming. Because, like, if I even give a hint to it and you start thinking about that, it changes everything. And, you know, his motives are not, I'm evil. You know, they're much deeper than that. And I'm not going to reveal that. But that's why it made it a lot easier to play him as someone honorable, because his motives aren't like, fuck these guys. It's much different. But, you know, I had a little minor issue with the module, and this has come up time and time again, and you're a bit of a healing apologist. So I'm curious your thoughts on this. These are back-to-back things. You go from the traps straight into the dungeon. So I had Lao Zhexian give you some potions, even though you were going to fight him. And the way I justified it was like, you know, he doesn't even know what's on the other side of the vault. So he wants to make sure that you guys can take care of it and be at the best so that he can take the crown and whatnot. But, like, if I don't do that, it's a TPK. And another thing is those traps reset, like, immediately. So you guys, there was just no chance. And so I wonder if we're just missing something. And no one has brought it up. I read the board. Well, I don't read the boards as much anymore, but, like, I feel like, and this is a 2E adventure, so it's not a 1E conversion where it's like, you just go cure magic wand, you know. So I just don't know. Like, it's impossible if he doesn't. Now, he did have things that he's supposed to give you, and I didn't give them to you earlier. And so they do give you, they were what I gave you. But, like, that doesn't.
The Juggernaut, John.
Yeah. That's what I gave you. I didn't even give you potions. I gave you those because those are listed as things he's supposed to give you. That trap resets. I'll look, but.
Well, maybe we can get, a little feedback from Professor Eric on this after the fact. He usually listens to the FOD, and maybe he can just give us some insight on, and he knows that scenario. You know, he's a PFS veteran GM. So, like, he knows that scenario, and maybe he can give us some insight onto, like, well, look, this is why most parties don't even move forward without a cleric or a bunch of potions in their backpack. Or maybe it's like, this one was the exception to the rule. This really was such a brutal combat, and I've seen parties die. I'm curious to get his take on it.
Here's a the trap is powered by the Eternal Bloom. It resets after 5 minutes, at which time the doors to the vault slam shut once again. If I had done that, not only would this have been a 40-episode side quest side sesh, but, like, you die. And so I just had to not do that.
It
so
was it 4d6 damage every time the blast went off? Each blast?
Failure is 4d6. Success is 2d6. Critical failure is 4d6 plus drained or enfeebled. You get a condition because they're
and
all
what was the DC?
Different. The DC is...
And so this is the same whether you're playing
24. DC 24.
Yeah, see, it's ridiculous. And this is the same whether you're playing the 3-4 version or the 5-6 version? Are we playing a 3-4 version?
You're playing the 3-4 version. No, let me scale down to the 5-6, John, here and see what it is. Oh, yeah, I didn't even look at that. 5-6, it's DC 27 Fortitude, and it's 4d6, 2d6 plus 2 or 4d6 plus 4.
Got it.
And then the critical failure, you get persistent damage and, like, other shit. You know, so, like, it also having the fact that, like, it's always Fortitude. Like, there's got to be one of you that's going to be a little light on Fortitude. You know, and you have no potions. You know, you shouldn't have to have a healer, but even a healer, a 5-minute reset, there's not a lot you can do. They all go down again. I mean, you never get into that room. So I don't know. I just either we're missing something or people are like, yeah, no, that's a PC killer.
Yeah, I'd love to hear. Yeah, so write in. Let us know. Are we missing something, or is this just a particularly brutal set of encounters that set us up for that? But I don't want to talk too much more about it because it's getting me thinking about other stuff in terms of Pathfinder mechanics that we all talk about in our Gatewalkers session zero and stuff like that. When we got together and talked, we were very like, you know, we were addressing all these issues that we've come across in our couple years of playing 2E. So it's I don't want to talk anything about what we talked about behind the scenes because you'll see stuff roll out in these character videos. All right, well, you know what? I think that's good. I think we got to go. Oh, no. Wait a minute. We can't leave without talking about how, like, Rufus is going to die.
Rufus is in bad shape.
So, yeah, I actually talked to Jared right after the session, and I was like, before we can act on the next session, like, let's talk a little turkey on the crunchiness of going down with persistent damage.
I think there was a flow chart that was talked about or made by you.
Yes. I wrote a little flow chart and it's just, it's a character killer, a PC killer. And I think, you know, I'd love to hear Eric's thoughts on that too, if that's the way he has seen it in society play. It's like, he also runs home games on APs and stuff. If you go to dying and you have persistent damage, you're essentially immediately you're dying. Immediately you roll a recovery check. If that doesn't go well, if you happen to fail that, you go down one, then damage ticks and you go down another one. Like it's really, really deadly. And you have to roll a natty 15 to get out of that. Now people can come and help you, but like all they can do is do like an aid roll basically. And you still have to make that roll. You still have to roll a natty 15 at some point in order to get out of that, that situation. Sometimes you can make it a natural 10, or sometimes it can be something that's so obviously cured, right? Like if it's persistent fire damage and we dump you in a pool, maybe you can just say it's over, but like there ain't no pool around. So it's like, it's going to be a really, really bad situation. And I'm sad because I really like Rufus and I want to, I don't want him to go out this way, but in playing with Order of the Amber Die, they lost a character this way in their, what's it called? Abomination Vaults. The Abomination Vaults, the one character death that they had so far, I don't think they've had more than one so far, was persistent damage. And the whole party was standing there. Like they had a healer and everything, like trying to help. And it just like the healer was out of heals and the out of battle medicines, you know, treat wounds takes 10 minutes. You can't do it. And it just, they couldn't make the DC 15 flat check and it killed the character. So we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, this is why hero points are so clutch.
Or tomorrow night, really.
Yeah, I mean, hero points, I get it. Like, this is why people love them. But like, hero points also, they don't remove the drain. I mean, they don't remove these persistent damage. It just kind of buys you more time.
Can drop that hero point, you lose the dying condition, you immediately stabilize, and then you immediately take damage from the persistent damage and you start the process over again. Like, it is a killer.
Gatewalker, you guys better be juicy in Gatewalkers. This is going to be a lot of deaths in book one.
Is there a lot of persistent damage?
I mean, the game is built that way. I'm just seeing it more and more in all the things we play. Persistent damage is like, I think the devs are like, everything is going to have persistent damage. So fun.
You know, I really like it, honestly, because it goes to show the increasing effects that this damage taking has on you. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't just go away. You know, like, there are a lot of things that are going to create ongoing damaging effects that you can be alive. I mean, you know, lots of people die like this, right? Like, they're injured. They're still alive for a little while, but they are just dying and dying and dying, and nothing you can do can stop it. Even with all the technology we have, even with all the, you could be at a hospital and still it just is not enough. And I it's neat to see that represented in the game mechanics, but that doesn't mean I want Rufus to die.
Oh, all right, man.
Well, let's wrap it up there. Great post Gen Con, John. Looking forward to get back to work here, man. Back to recording. We got getting the trunks. We got Voyages of the Jumper off and recording, and we got SideQuest Side Sesh each night. We got State of the Pod Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. So much cool shit going on. Please come hang out with us. Chill on Twitch. Listen wherever you listen. And very exciting updates coming this Friday. Until then, take it easy, everybody. Goodbye. Goodbye.
I'm going. Maybe I'll go back to bed.
Snooze.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.